to finish that one. Time.
To have the greatest benefit of our pilgrimage to Vrindavan, how should we prepare ourselves? What should we look for, and how should we look for it? Right? I really must write this down, you know, because my memory is was a long night or a short night. So what should we look to have the greatest benefit? Actually, now I can do it. To have the greatest benefit, how should we prepare? What should we look for, and how should we look for it? Okay. I'm waking up in my brain. Okay. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashnaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Kaudavani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Haskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Ivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In order to achieve the greatest benefit of a pilgrimage to Vrindavan, you should follow the advice of Nityananda Prabhu, who guided Jiva Goswami on a similar pilgrimage, not to Vrindavan, but to Mayapur. However, the principles are the same. If you wish to really have the benefit of a pilgrimage, you need to cross from your material vision to a spiritual vision. This is not easy. In other words, you need to see not only the sensual impressions of what Vrindavan is, but you need to see the spiritual presence of the Dhamma and Radha and Krishna. And that is beyond the senses, that perception. When you go to Vrindavan, your senses might tell you it's dusty, it's hot, and it is dirty at some places. People are poor and are willing to cheat for a few rupees. This is what your senses will tell you. But that is not beneficial to go like this to Vrindavan, and that's all what you see in Vrindavan. You need to see what is beyond the senses, especially in Vrindavan. I would like to give you a little example which helps you. When you look at me with only your senses, you will see an aging person with sciatic problems and with graying hair. Teeth which are ready to go soon, you know. I hope that's not all which is here sitting on the seat. In all this, this physical things, the physical body, there is a soul And there's a super soul. You know? You can, by seeing, learning to see things spiritually, you will see something else than the material arrangement. Now, how you asked the question, the benefit in Vrindavan is to really make a soul connection with Krishna. You know, it's not a material connection with Krishna, not a sensual connection with Krishna. Krishna is always in Vrindavan Evo. Just like in the body, there's always the super soul, Krishna, Paramatma present. But you have, in order to connect with that spiritual dimension, you have to be willing to cross the material perception, which is called the aparavicha. Apara means the external, para means the transcendental. So if you want to find Krishna in Vrindavan, oh, Haribo, you have to look beyond the dust, beyond the stool, beyond some of, I mean, there is a little, at least the rickshaw drivers are sometimes cheating. It's easy you to not be cheated by a rickshaw driver, to just fix the price before you even enter in your mind into his rickshaw. Then no problem will derive. In other words, you must be ready to turn away from the rickshaw driver if he quotes an unreasonable price, if you don't want to be. So you must go beyond the trends and the physical thing. And Jiva Goswami says the way to do this, the way how to come from the material, which is called the aparavicha, the material perspective, to the transcendental perspective, is you have to go through a gate, a door. Just like if you want to go to the temple here, you have to open that one door and then come through the vase and come in here. If you want to go into the transcendental Vrindavan, here is your formula, Eva. Trinadapi sunichena. You know, what does this mean? More humble than the straw and the grass. Then, taro iva sahishnuna. You must actually tolerate the heat and the dust and the stool. Then, amani namana dena. You must be actually willing to give respect to others, even the pigs and the bees and the everyone in Vrindavan. You must respect them. These are Brijbasis. They are more advanced than me. And you must be free from the desire to get rest, respect. And then you can start your kirtan in Vrindavan. What I always do, whenever I go somewhere, I sing Hare Krishna. I mean, sometimes I talk also with devotees, but I either chant on my japa beads, I sing when we walk through Vrindavan. We have Gaurahari as his harmonium there. I have my pair of Mexican Acapulco caratas with me, and then kirtan goes on in all earnestness. Because what can I see with these eyes? What can I hear with these ears of Vrindavan? I can only see what my senses tell me. But if I purify my heart and I'm by following the advice of being humble, then I can break on through. There was once a song which I like to listen very much, and with my little band called The Strangers, I would also sing it. It highlighted this, you know, to come from one level to another. And the song made the point, there is a wall which separates us, and one should break through this wall and come to the real transcendental. It was not totally transcendental. It had some psychedelic ideas. But you know, to cross through the wall of your material sense perception, you need to chant the holy name, and this you can only do by following the Trinadapi Shloka. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would highlight this point by saying, Dham means Nam. Dham means Nam. You should be willing to respect even the dust of Vrindavan. This is how humble you should come, and you should chant the holy name, and then your perspective would change. Now it's very interesting, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went on Vrindavan Parikram, he told to his followers another point. He said, fasten your seatbelt, a new point will now come. It's very intense, I can just only one. Don't look around. Because what you see with your senses is not Vrindavan. If you want to see Vrindavan, you have to listen to the sadhu, the saintly person, who reveals Vrindavan to you by talking about Radha and Krishna. Now this is a very interesting point which Burijan Prabhu made to me last time. See, many of us are very interested in the cultural aspect of Vrindavan, isn't it? The way the Brijbasis dress, the way they dance, the way they the nature looks, the yellow ras fields, the chirping parrots, and this very nice landscape, especially around Kamyavan, I could just see, and so on. My dear devotees, you can see all this, but after listening to the holy name and after listening to the sadhu, because then you will be able to see the transcendental aspect in it and not the ethno-cultural, anthropological aspect of Vrindavan. There's much more going on than just an interesting North Indian tribal life with North Indian folk music and so on. There's much more waiting for you. And if you stay on just a cultural appreciation of Vrindavan and a geographical appreciation of Vrindavan, you are just scratching the surface. You must hear the holy name. You must hear or read. The information about what is of Radha and Krishna, and then you can enter Vrindavan. This is how to do it. Take appropriate literature with you.
More than anything,
take this with you. Very important. So important. So important. After having seen this, said this, I really want to be very clear, because I know that I am very interested also in what I see in Vrindavan. And I know that some of you are also Vrindavan lovers, just like that. I have friends, and with my friends I walk around in Vrindavan, I walk through the villages, I beg from the villagers the chas and drink it, and actually now I don't do it any longer because I get diarrhea, but in my young days when I was doing everything. But this only works after. Imagine you come to Radhastami. You need to first hear about Radharani. Even if you are sweaty and tired and so on, you need to hear. Otherwise, you don't connect with Radha proper. No? You connect on one level with her. That always gives me so much pain that some devotees are not doing this. They are not hearing about Krishna. And then what you see of Krishna is not Krishna. It's something. Some devotees don't never hear about the philosophy and read the books of Prabhupada and never chant Hare Krishna earnestly. You are not in the Hare Krishna movement. You see a chaotic, unorganized, good-intentioned new religious movement. That's all. With not so much capabilities, you know, and we are not materially very talented. Not very. Some are, by the mercy of Krishna, doing things, but we are not. So Vrindavan, everything is the same. You must see spiritually to see the real things. And for this, the only path is the Shrutekshita path. Shrutekshita means seeing through the... Ekshita means the eyes, and Shruta, hearing. Seeing through hearing. An interesting concept. And then when you go around Giriraj, you know, Krishna lifted this. I just feel it. It's so good, you know. And when you have heard, then you look at Radhakund and you almost faint. Here's my Radharani at home. You know, for 6 hours a day, she's here, poor and undisturbed with Krishna. This is the best place, you know. And then you come to the Yamuna and you know, wow, it's so black. Why? Because it's the eye ink of Krishna which makes it black. It's not the industrial pollution which the Japanese are trying to get out of the Yamuna. You know, you see things spiritually, and then you are in Vrindavan. I like this example very much. There's the body, but in the body is the soul and the super soul. I thought about this very deeply because of my admittedly fascination with Vrindavan life and everything I see. I find everything wonderful. Even the gangster who stands with his two pistols before you, most probably none of them will work because it's Vrindavan, and who says, Jai Radhe, give me all your money. I somehow am a little bit crazy because I like it. You know, it is so... so crazy, you know, so different. But then Burijan Prabhu, who is a very wise person, he says, he commented about a few devotees who just live this life in Vrindavan, this you know, appreciating the culture and so on. And he said, this is not how we want to reside in Vrindavan. And then I looked at him and said, please explain your thoughts more in detail. And he He then explained to me that there is this, oh Krishna, this Sanskrit word, drishtaman vrindavan, that is what you see with your senses, and there is the adrishta vrindavan, what you don't see with your senses, which you can only experience when you do this, when you hear from the sadhus and you chant the holy names. And here comes another thing, Ivo. If you don't already have an overkill of information, serve. You must do a service in Vrindavan. Serve. Something serve. I only serve by singing the Hare Krishna mantra, chanting this, but I serve. Because the real Vrindavan is the land of seva. Nanda Maharaj wants to serve Krishna. Yashoda wants to serve. Chitraka and Patraka, they want to serve. Sridham and Subal are servants. Even Radharani just wants to serve even the dust particles from Krishna's feet. They are all service oriented. And if you wish to enter the real Vrindavan, serve. Even when you hear, serve. When you chant, serve. Not serving, but service oriented. Yeah. Oh, there are many, many more informations, but I think you would forget them. And it's maybe not relevant, but so coming back, the real benefit in Vrindavan is come as a pill, that you can actually get bhakti in your heart. You know, Radharani is really wanting to give this treasure of bhakti to all the pilgrims in Vrindavan. That's the benefit, and you can, how to reap the benefit is you enter Vrindavan in a service mood, in a humble mood, and through Sukirtan, or japa, through the holy name. Serve. When you are in Vrindavan, some of you who go to Vrindavan get a culture shock. I had one person once with me who said, I just want to go to the West. I said, why? Because I want to open doors normally. You know, what your wife had this little posted on the door about this, what is it, quacker? Quacker. I want to find a quacker, a normal quacker. That's all. And when I switch on the light, this would be nice if there's light and not darkness as a result, you know. And I just want to have one day without diary, if it's possible, you know. I never forget this. Hare Krishna, culture shock. Severe culture shock. With the result of mild schizophrenia starting and intense Indian traumatas. You know, so I said, please get your ticket as fast as possible. You are not even in Vrindavan. You have made a mistake. You came into a dusty village in North India. Not in Vrindavan, sorry. So on. So I'm sorry, I'm becoming very talkative when it comes about Vrindavan. I should stop here. Look. Now ask Kavi Chandamaraj. Now please ask Kavi Chandamaraj your question. You are the best, Maharaj.
Based on this experience of going all around and meeting people there and meeting devotees, what do you think is it that make Hare Krishna process verb. What is it that makes us gain bhakti instead of become pious and joyful?
Shalakaya Shakshunmilitam Yenai Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Iksinachina Taro Ivasaishnuna Manina Manalina Ketaniya Sada Hari.
That is a secret. And this verse also, regular hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and taking it very seriously. Hearing is not just hearing is a serious thing. That means really hearing and really taking it in. Not in a challenging mood, not in a way to try to learn something to show that we know something. I know something that you don't know, I found somewhere. But to relish the association of Krishna and the instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that chanting the holy name, of course, and preaching, it goes together. Sometimes devotees are confused that preaching sometimes seems a little aggressive, sankirtan, so how can that be humble? But because it's the order of the spiritual master, it's humble to do it, even though we may be not exactly aggressive in a heavy sense, but you know, some people might think, well, why are you pushing and saying on people? If they want it, they'll come to the temple. But they have to know about the temple. So everywhere, the souls are the same. You know, sometimes technical management's a little bit different. Even like the Army American companies that go places, they gradually learn they have to let the local people do the local management. Although they give the guidelines and the inspiration. But the philosophy is always the same. Surrender to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is the Supreme Controller. That one we have to, you know, understand is the first verse of the seed verses of the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada Matat Sarvam Prabhakate. Everything comes from me, you know, I'm the source of everything. Twice Krishna says in two lines of one verse. And then Brahma Samhita, first thing we have is Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. So nothing can be going on, and the more devotees can understand that, that's understood by chanting. And then the Samanina Manadena, Maharaj was talking about, that's probably the most difficult thing to, in the material world, you know, basically hear, because we want respect. We want to be recognized. Sometimes when we get it, we don't like it, but offering all respect to others, not expecting anything in return, offering all service to Krishna, and not expecting anything in return, except more service. When Srila Prabhupada was asked one time, what do you get from chanting the holy name? Because usually in so-called religious kind of a dharma, you'll get this, you'll get that, you know, you'll get, you've been in Africa, right? You see what they offer in Nigeria, especially. Prosperity, you know, you'll get so many things. I saw one poster there that said, anything is possible with God. It had a picture of a Ferrari car and a big mansion and a beautiful wedding, you know. So, and the Shaivites, so-called, you know, they're worshipping Lord Shiva, mostly Durga, thinking, or Ganesh, you know, they're going to get some material benefit. But even the gopis, they're not even looking for spiritual benefit or anything from Krishna. They just want to give everything to Krishna. That's real love. So that the process does work for anyone who applies it. And everyone, it works for everyone. It also works for people who are offensive. They leave, they give it up. they lose their taste for chanting. It works, you know. All the things that are stated, it does work. Someone sometimes asks, why does somebody lose their taste for chanting? Because they're chanting offensively, and then Krishna goes away. So that if we can come to that, you know, humble state of mind, tolerant. Bhaktisiddhanta said, he wrote somebody that obviously the person was complaining about someone. And he said, when you get a chance to be tolerant, you should be very happy. You know, like if someone's harassing you and things are really bad, that you should think this is a great opportunity to be tolerant. Because tolerance is an extremely important thing. Because in the material, just like we have to tolerate these bodies and all the trouble. Even a healthy body is so much trouble. Sometimes more trouble. You know, trying to keep it healthy. And just the basicness, basic maintenance is so much trouble. Feeding it, bathing it, dressing it, you know, and then all the other things that some people think they have to do. We have to tolerate the urges, you know, the vachu vegam, manasa krodha vegam. So if we're sticking to the spiritual, like you mentioned in the beginning about managerial, Prabhupada once said, if the spiritual things are good, then the management will just follow along. I thought of an example. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, by the sea when there's a big tide. When I went to Dwarka, I saw, like, you know, there was like a mile of sand or something, and just boats everywhere. Big fishing boats and everything just sitting in the sand. And I was thinking, what, you know, how did they get there? And then I realized, oh, yeah, the tide will come. Mm-hmm. And when the tide comes, all those boats have float away. And then they can go out, and then they come back at night, and they just leave it again. I saw in Bali one time, they were fixing that, you know, they were trying to protect the shoreline from the waves. And there was a huge barge. It was like a gigantic thing. It was so big, there was a bulldozer on top of it, pushing big rocks off the top. But it was just sitting in the sand. You know, it was like a couple hundred meters from the ocean. And then, but the next day it was gone because the tide came. So when the spiritual energy goes up, if devotees are really enlivened and they're really thinking of how to please Krishna and they're happy to see anybody pleasing Krishna and they know what pleases Krishna because of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam sincerely, then all the other things just become very simple. If we neglect that tolerance and patience and respect for other devotees, then, you know, and we're not preaching, we're not trying to expand and bring new people in, then we just start to use our intelligence to see what's wrong with this one and what's wrong with that one. And, you know, why am I not being recognized? All those things start to happen because that's what Maya is telling everyone. That's how we're trained. But we don't want to fall back on our previous conditioning. So we want to preach and bring things up. If we go to Vrindavan, we want to be chanting like all the time. No matter what. And, you know, hearing from devotees and serving devotees. And then, you know, like you said, Vrindavan will reveal something. There was one, I was in Vrindavan once with an African devotee, and he was totally bewildered by the unclean things, you know. How can this be spiritual? How can this be spiritual? And I said, you have to see beyond that. It's just like, you don't want people to look at you and think, well, he's a black body. Mm-hmm. You know, he's, I mean, I was conditioned, black means dirty. They're dirty, filthy, unclean, you know. They're born to be slaves and they should be happy being slaves. And all those things go around. And many people are prejudiced. They look at the Indian, they look at the white. They, you know, the Brijvasis may look at you and think, well, there's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They don't see anything else. Right? But if you're Krishna conscious, they will see something when they see that you're chanting. So the process works on its own if it's applied. It's a very simple thing. But it works for everybody. So Prabhupada understood that, and he was able to go anywhere and everywhere in the world and make the bodhis. And everybody that met Prabhupada felt like he sees beyond, he doesn't see all the covering, he only sees in me as a person. No one's ever done that before. And then they just want to serve him. They just want to surrender. It works when it's applied. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, you know, then all that is inauspicious in the heart will be destroyed almost to nil, because until we reach like prema, there's still something there we have to always take care of. All
right. Thank you very much, Maharaj. So now, Maharaj and myself, we have given long answers. We wanted to give you a little time to formulate your questions. Now we have given you enough time. Now please fire questions at us, and we will try to answer not longer than 3 minutes for each question. So. Yeah, well, I see Mathurananda and Velko. Do you have a different external experience so that you're not mistaken? Or yeah? Yeah? Is that the reason? Or not necessarily?
People don't make offenses to
Mathurananda. Yeah. I'm sorry, it is Malapariwatni. So the two are the Mathurananda. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yesterday we were hearing about Radharani, and you said how we can really never approach Krishna directly. Rather, we should approach Radharani and get her mercy and serve Radharani. But I kind of noticed many times that in ISKCON it's almost a taboo to talk about Radharani. It's always, you know, we're very cautioned that it's too high for us to listen about Radharani and the pastimes of Radharani. So how to reconcile this kind of conditioning that we should maybe be very careful?
Mm-hmm. That is a very good question. My personal answer is like this. Prabhupada preached ISKCON to the Westerners, and he was very careful that we would understand it properly, what he said. Very careful. He talked a lot against sense gratification. He talked about the errors of material science, you know, and he very much wanted to talk about the greatness of Krishna the might and the power and so on. He did this so that we wouldn't make a grave mistake. Because we are meant to, we are making mistakes on every step. I want to give you a practical example. In Prabhupada's time, we never always knew if we can take a bath in Radhakund or not. That is not very clear, because his statements almost forbade us. Then, I got bewildered when I read in the Upadeshamrita in the end, this book is here by Shans, that one must take a bath in Radha Kund. Therefore, everyone interested in Krishna consciousness should ultimately take shelter of Radha Kund. And there's such a clear sentence also about taking a bath. I won't bore you now to find it, but believe me, I have really studied these purports very carefully. Then why did Prabhupada, here, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami recommends that even if one cannot live permanently on the banks of Radha Kund, he should at least take a bath in the lake as many times as possible. It's very clear. Even if we can't live there, that's us, we can't live there. You know. So, but when Prabhupada was asked by his disciples, he often pointed out, you know, that be very careful and be very, you know, and there were very cautionary things. Why? I think because we are such impossible monkeys. What I heard is that Prabhupada made this rule, no bath any longer at Radha Kund, when the Australian devotees came there. Do you know what is Australian devotees in the old times? Now they're most probably very advanced because they practiced for long. If you would look at their theater place, they were all like, in Croatia you have the Purujit theater. It's about stool and urine and bones and flesh, you know, you might have seen these. It's so groovy. And what they would do is, I mean, they made this theater place, then they would go to Radha Kund and they would make swimming competitions. And I can tell you, Australians are first-class swimmers. It's all around ocean, you know. The only thing which was missing, I don't think anyone took a serving thing and jumped on the serving thing and surfed around, and all the Babaji's going, what is going on? You know, you have to do things properly. This is what our Kavichandra Maharaj said. You have to learn what it is, and it's not easy. You have to, on a very high level in his philosophy, and then you have to do things properly. But we were not doing things properly. Now I will something. We all devotees talk about the good old times. In my opinion, it's the most crazy phase of ISKCON. It only worked because Prabhupada was there. It worked despite us, not because of us. You know. So this is my opinion. It's a very unpopular opinion. I'm winning votes amongst the older devotees. You know, it worked because there was extraordinary mercy, and that's a glorification. That's not this statement is not offense against ISKCON. I mean, it's a glorification. Prabhupada gave us mercy, and we somehow captured the mercy because our only qualification might have been Guru Nishtha, the firm faith in the spiritual master. That was there like anything. Therefore, it worked. This is no longer there so much in ISKCON, and therefore, it doesn't have the same strength. But it was because when there's Guru Nishtha, faith in the spiritual master, the spiritual energy works even despite of you. And these were they were wonderful devotees, were wonderful in this one aspect. But they were inexperienced and new, you know, to 2 years, 3 years in the movement. So, in answering your question about Radharani, I will believe we are cautioned 108 times to approach these subject matters not in the wrong way, because if you do the highest, if you approach the highest with the wrong way, it can easily become the lowest. Like the Madhurya Rasa. If you hear about the Madhurya Rasa in the wrong way, you will become sexually arousing. You will become more lusty if you do this. And then this is the greatest disservice you can do. The highest, when it's done in the lowest way, in a wrong way, can easily bring corruption. Or to express this in modern words, I think we all agree religion is good, but if it's approached in the wrong way, there will be wars. Like the history of mankind has shown us, so much wars between religious fanatics of any sort. Our Amarananda is from the hot lands, you know, the Persia, and so many wars about different sects, Islamic sects and groups, and slaughter, and I read things you can't believe, that there was this man who went with an army of people he had trained into the mosque and started to shoot at many people in the mosque Mecca. How could I forget? And later he said why he did it. It was because he was it's too complicated for me. Some Shunite and Shiite and some other little detail, and he asked for forgiveness, and this prince of Jordan said, "May Allah forgive you." Yeah, we can't. It's not in our human ability. Therefore, you must study the books. You want to know, should I stay or should I go into Radha Kund? You know, you must read the Nectar of Instruction. Then you will know what to do. These Prabhupada said, this is the guidelines. You must understand the philosophy. And there you will know how to take the bath. How it's you know, you have to be really devotional when you do it, and be really very careful that you also keep the traditions, that you are dressed in the proper way for the bath. You must pay your obeisances before and after, and do all this. Mandidi Maharaj describes it in his book, The Glories of Radha Kund, how to take a bath. Not like the Australians. I mean, in the early days.
It might not have been only the
Australians. What? Yeah, yes. Kavi Chandra Maharaj made some very, very nice point. The Deutschlands was also, oh my God, we were very wild. The Hansa Panzers.
We were shocked. The Americans were shocked by the
way. We Germans were not better. Yes, much worse, maybe. Yes, oh Krishna.
Prabhupada's tolerance. And if we go through Prabhupada's books, it's very much about Radharani, actually. There was once in Los Angeles the Gopi Baba Club, and they were concentrating on that from Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's some very serious chapters there. And they said, but Prabhupada was not happy with that. And they said, but Prabhupada, we're only reading your books. He said, yeah, but there's much more in my books. There's a balance. Not that we just reject completely, but we balance, you know, and how to hear about things. And so Prabhupada, you know, especially like Nectar Devotion, there's so many little things, little leelas, little pastimes that are very intimate. It's not like he never gave anything, like some people say, oh, Prabhupada never, he did. But he gave it in a balanced way. So we can know what we're doing.
I'm very sorry, I just broke my own rule. I spoke so long. I'm very sorry. We need to go to the next, otherwise. And let us try to be very brief. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Okay. My question is, often I see, not often, but I have seen devotees who base their actions on the Shastras, but somehow these actions turn out to be harmful, disturbing, and I was wondering how can we avoid this trap and how can we sense if we are acting like this based on the Shastra and philosophically and everything, it's really sound, but somehow the results turn out to be negative and not productive, and So I was thinking how can we recognize this in our heart and how can we avoid this trap? Thank you. Well, for example, perhaps we can approach a new devotee who just arrived to the temple and then criticize him on some points which are really too elevated for this devotee, and then because of this the devotee may never come to the temple. Or, for example, there are some much more subtle things than this, in regards to management or in regards to lectures of some devotees, and it's but the basic point is that this can all be have really based on the Shastras, but in the end the result turns out to be negative. It doesn't bring any positive change or doesn't bring any positive movement. Yes. I hope you this question is clear. I don't know.
I understand it. Mm-hmm. Would you like?
Okay, thank you.
Well, we have Guru Shastra Sahib. Right? So everyone, I don't know, in America we have what they call Bible bangers. You know, somebody's Bible says, you know, one verse or something. Mm-hmm. You know, or the people with the Quran. So we have to understand Shastra, and then there's time, place, and circumstance, right? For every person, it's not the same injunction. They're not for everybody. We get a lot of this now about Kartik and Ekadasi. You know, you have to do Nirjala fast until 2 days later after Janmashtami or something. Otherwise, you go to hell for 10 billion lifetimes. And they've got some shastra and they're sending it out every day. Every day, every day. But we have Prabhupada's example also. And Shaksadu, Guru Shastra, and Sadhu Shastra. We need to train devotees, and, you know, neophytes often will be like that. They know a little bit, and they want to slam it on everybody. They don't know the balance. It's like if a doctor only knows one medicine, but, you know, maybe that might work for one person, right? There's a story Prabhupada told.
About the camel.
The horse that swallowed the water. So the horse came with a big swollen neck or something, and the doctor smashed it with a hammer. So then his assistant, he did the same thing. But he said, well, that horse had swallowed a watermelon, and he broke up the watermelon so it could go down. But the other one was a different disease. You can't treat it the same. It's a trick sometimes when we have open doors and a lot of people coming, and we have people that want to lord it over than, you know, somebody, and hit them with the Shastra. But Shastra says, you know, for every rule there's a exception to the rule also. And there's variations of following it according to one's ability and position and so many things. So at least we can, for ourselves, you know, try to rise up and preach properly. And that's why we, as a society, we have the Bhakti Shastri courses and all these things where people can actually study Shastra and understand it and get the vijnana, the practical application of everything.
I would like to really say, bring also another point. Maharaj's point is you have to understand it in context, really. And there is not only the Shastra, there's the Guru, there's the Sadhu and how they behave, and then you will know a certain information in its context and so on. I would like to add, it's very, very important for in this world to check the motivation. Why, for instance, we have seen as Prabhupada disciples big battles where each side quoted Prabhupada. And ping, they were really quotation against quotation, and it is really dong, 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 dong. And it was very, you have to go then a little bit deeper. What does this person want? What is his idea? And then go into, why does he selectively quote only these and not the other quotations? And bhakti is like that. Spiritual life is really always carried by motivation. That's the whole art of bhakti. You must have the motivation to please Krishna, anukul yena. You must do this. If this motivation is not there, it's not bhakti. Like Yashoda, she apparently, she put Krishna down and ran to protect the milk from overflowing. So Krishna didn't like it. He screamed, is Yashoda now a demon? Because Krishna screamed. Is she like Kamsa? And so on. The explanation is, no, Yashoda wanted to protect the milk from overflowing because that milk was meant to serve Krishna. It wants to please Krishna in all she does. So that makes an act bhakti, that there is this desire to please. And devotee, if he is Shastra banging, or it's called Bible banging, if he uses the Shastra, then it's not the right motivation. You can easily feel it with a little Dharmatian subtlety. You can know what is the motivation. Okay, what is the next question, please?
Maybe one Mandi.
Yeah, Manditangi. And are there other hands up which I don't see at the moment? Matajis are silent today. Good, then it's Gaurahari. And Nikunya has always questions. No, not this morning. One, good, I know. You can see.
We know, and we also heard yesterday, that we can approach Krishna and get Krishna's mercy through the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And I was wondering, does this also goes for the prayers? Can we address Krishna directly, or should we address first Srimati Radharani and then go to Krishna? Because I'm used to address Krishna directly. We have a home deity, so now I'm wondering, is this okay? Or
you're not addressing Krishna directly. Do you chant Krishna or do you chant Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Good.
I meant these other personal prayers that
yeah,
I make.
Yeah, I'm just making a point. Yes,
yes, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh Shrimati Radharani, oh Krishna, please accept me in your service. This is how we go about praying to Radharani. It's a very good question. There is one traditional prayer which addresses Radha and Krishna. Usually, the way Prabhupada taught us is when you pray, you address Radha and Krishna, means first the energy, then the energetic, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna. And then you pray, and then you start to pray. Now, that's the process which always works for everyone. If you now get a little bit more purified and in the detail, Manditangi, at that time something will happen to you or is happening already. And I think this is very important in spiritual life. You must see what the voice of your consciousness tells you within the frame of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, obviously, you know. How you are called. You must follow this calling. Ultimately, spiritual life is an answer to a calling which you feel. And when this calling comes, then you know, you must follow it. If it doesn't come, or if it comes differently to you than to another person, follow this own calling. Just see if it is if it's generally all right in the frame of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But then you will feel your specific path will reveal itself, and you must follow. If it reveals itself, you anyways can't do anything else than follow it. That is how strong it is. This is the calling. You must follow it. There are many devotees who have followed this calling. For instance, Akrura, Prabhu, has followed a calling in terms of his service. It became clear to him, I am a coach. At that time everyone said, Akrura, this is new age, this is not good. You know, and then now he's invited all over the world to do coaching in Krishna consciousness. It was so strong, he said, yesterday we talked about it, and he said, anyways, Maharaj, it was a calling. I had to do this. Yeah. So, in your spiritual life, if you feel you should first address Radharani in a careful way, then do it. I would like that this calling comes to me, but as of yet, it has not yet come to me, and I'm waiting to purify myself. But on Radharani, appearance day, we just pray to Radharani. That's all. So follow your calling. Don't do something artificial, because that will not give any results. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maharaj, would you like to also add something to this?
Yeah, just quick. Like in deity worship, we do the guru worship first, but then we worship Krishna. You know, you're directly addressing Krishna and feeding Krishna and everything. I think, you know, but by the mercy of the Guru, we can approach Krishna. So we don't want to forget that and think, well, you know, I'm a devotee of Krishna. But by by the mercy of the Guru, by the mercy of Radharani, we can approach Krishna. That's Hare Krishna. Both. Because it's all Krishna, Krishna's internal energy. That's how he arranges for us to approach him. So if we approach him through the way that he has arranged, then we can approach him. If we try to skip over all the other arrangements, then Krishna won't be there.
Then Nikunya Rasa had a question.
Hare Krishna. In Belgrade, Satchinandana Swami was talking to us how in order to change something in our lives, the most important thing is to get the blessing. And to get the blessing of the spiritual master, we need to serve him with love and selfishly. So I was thinking about this point, how to leave our own little worlds and the comfort zones and to serve spiritual master really selflessly. Can you give us some advices about this point?
You are doing.
Yeah, I would like to do that. Of course, I like that saying that shoe company has, just do it. Quite a good thing. Just try, whatever we try to do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the conclusion of his Kabhi Habhi Bolo prayers, said, Kabhi Jivi Doya, Hoi Devi Doya, Nija Sukha Bhuli, Kodiya Vidoya. When will I give up in my heart this desire for my own comfort? We just do whatever we can, and of course we're supposed to live a simple life and minimize. Then he said, then I'll get the power to, just preach. Shia Gata Hala Kori Vipachar. Then we'll be able to go out and actually preach a message of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, when we go out and preach, then we kind of have to give up, it's not always the most comfortable physically or materially, or we're not meeting everybody that's very happy with us and everything, so let's just start. Just try to dedicate everything to Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. Is this pleasing to Krishna? That's a good thing to be thinking about. Whatever we're doing. And it's not that Krishna wants us to, suffer and live a very uncomfortable life and sleep on the cold ground and all those things. But to have not a luxurious, opulent life, but just basic, comfortable life so that we can dedicate utilize all the time for Krishna. The more we try to make Krishna comfortable or serve the other devotees, how much are we trying to do something for someone else? Then automatically Krishna takes care of us. We don't have to think about it so much. So try to serve the devotees, try to make arrangements. Just like the more we try to dress the deity and we start thinking about how to make beautiful clothes for the deity and get nice jewelry for the deity, then we reduce our tendency to decorate our own body. Right? Then we can decorate our body very beautifully just with tilak and kantimala. And then as far as Krishna is concerned, that is the most beautiful decoration anyone can put on their body. We may want to do so many things, but that's what Krishna is looking for. Is just pleasing to Krishna. Whatever, we just concentrate, just keep thinking how to please Krishna, how to please Guru, how to please the devotees. And then, if devotees are happy, Krishna is happy. So if you can bless me, I would like to give up my constant endeavor to be comfortable in this body. it doesn't work.
It's an old body. Also. Your body is a little elderly, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but it just, it can't be. It, you can only be comfortable in the connection with Krishna.
I would like to add to Maharaj one thing, and I feel looking at the clock, time is also there. It's 9:30. I would just briefly like to say, you're concerned of obtaining blessings from the spiritual master, and you're thinking how to these blessings can be obtained by selfless service. Now you want very practical a guideline how to enter this world of practical service, and then you get the blessings and can change your life for the positive. I would recommend to you to focus on one instruction first. Not all the 120 million instructions, but just one instruction, and which is now within your reach, which you can do in your present life circumstances, wherever you are, whatever you do, and so on. And it does not really take much more than that. I know Prabhupada was sometimes pleased by female disciples sewing for the deities. He was pleased by any little thing. Devotees who were on the farms, who grew the vegetables, because he had so often said that this is important. He was pleased by book distribution. He was pleased if he saw the general attitude of his devotees to try to please him through any of the instructions he had given which were in his reach. Which are in the reach of the disciple. I personally, in my attempts to please Srila Prabhupada, have seen that it's very difficult for me to do everything. For instance, I must admit, at this time of my life, I have difficulties to distribute 100 books a day. It's just difficult. and other things might be easier. And Prabhupada commented on this. He said, to become a devotee and to please the spiritual master doesn't mean that an ant has to become an elephant. You know, the ant can do the ant activities. I don't know what they typically do, but, whatever is in your reach. Don't do the mistake which has killed the Western civilization, and that is to compare yourself and what you do with what others do. That kills you also. You're not another person. You're you. You have your circumstances, and offer within that circumstance your service, and that will be wonderful. Good. It is now 5 minutes. No, 25 minutes to 9, to 10. You must be terribly hungry. No, but if you eat late, you are more hungry in the morning. That's the greatest mistake if you think of before fasting. I just load myself in the evening. Then you will suffer terrible hunger in the next morning. Terrible hungry. So I know you are now hungry because I saw what you ate yesterday and when you ate it. Hare Krishna. I would just like to ask the following devotees to come here. We need to absolutely talk about tickets to the next pilgrimage. Madhva Muni, Saranandi, Banunandi, and Gaurahari, these four devotees. If you can, it will take 2 minutes. Then. So thank you very much, Kavichandra Maharaj, for your wonderful answers.
thank all of you for your questions and your wonderful, happy presence. The festival will go on in the evening, I hear, at 6 o'clock, Gokulendra, or when is it? No, you should know. What? 6 o'clock. We will have bhajans and a dramatic reading from the Gaga Sanghita. That's quite dramatic. So please come. I think it's very nicely organized today. You can do the small little things you have to do. It's Friday still. And tomorrow will be another very packed full day. So today is a little free for doing everything else you need to do, and discussions with the devotees and so on and so forth. So, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi go nitai ki, Gaur premanandi hari hari bol.